Kay, can you tell us a little bit more about the circumstance under which that young lady died?
Yes. She was murdered brutally by someone who had been stalking her. She was to be married a month later. Christian woman.
There aren't words.
No.
There are none. I agree.
But the only reason I'm saying that is not to be gratuitous, but I can't even fathom being that mother.
Welcome to Study with Friends. We're a group of women studying the Bible together, inviting you to join us as we deepen our relationship with God through His Word. This week is part two of our study in Galatians and the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. If you need to catch up with us, please get to our website, studywithfriends.org, and pull up the series in the search box. You can listen there online, or search us on iTunes, or tune in online radio. That's studywithfriends.org. While you're there on our website, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner of the site to follow us for daily inspiration from God's Word. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. When you can't be with us here, we love being able to encourage you there. This week, we're talking about finding joy in hard circumstances. I hope you're going to love it.
I have gone through situations with friends and family who may not be believers mm-hmm. or young in their faith. I've gone through with friends and family who are very mature in their faith. And it is really beautiful to see how someone who relies on the Lord will deal with a situation and how you can help someone a little more that needs to know mm-hmm. the love of mm-hmm. God.
For me, it's with dealing with my young children who have both received mm-hmm. Christ. They have both been, you know, baptized in full submersion. And we're going through some really hard things for kids to deal with this year. There's been a lot of, unfortunately, death, whether it's family or pets or whatever. They've dealt with it more than they need to in their 12 and 13 year olds. So, and they say to me, but Mom, why are you like this? And I'm like, because I know what's,
like what?
Why am I okay? Why, to them, it's, they use the word okay. Why are you okay with this? Why aren't you crying? I'm like, kind of, you know, I have to explain to them that, you know, I cry my own time, but I am at peace, which I'm going to segue into our next mm-hmm. spirit, our fruit, is because God has this in His hands. He has all of us, has everyone. They are with Him, and my joy is in that time that I have had with them here. So I have to break it down for these little kids, and that's where my mind always goes, is how do I explain this to my children so that their foundation in this is something that they can hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
How do they get through difficult times and still have joy in the Lord? And how do they sing that song that is in
their
heart?
Well, that's actually what I was going to say. Those around us, when we go through trials, that's why James is the right thing to talk about here, because it's when we go through trials, not only that we exercise our own joy muscle, I guess is a good way, like have to really work that out. Like, okay, I have to find my joy, remember my joy. I have to hold tight to the joy. But the people around us are blessed by that. I mean, my brother and I have both been people of faith for a long time. And he had a really bad few years. And he put out this Christmas letter. Just telling you, I typically hate Christmas letters because they're like Facebook at Christmas. It's only the best. It's all the best. And Johnny's an AAA student and, you know, whatever, which is great. Good for you and good for Johnny. I'm not begrudging you that, but it's just a little much because it all comes at like December 1st. And you're like, ah, that's a lot of happiness. Okay. little whatever. So, but he sent this letter. I still have it. And it was so joy-filled. He was real, which I know you won't be shocked that my family produced people that are like, just tell you like it is. Don't really hide, and we're pretty transparent. And he was just like, look, this year kind of sucked. Here's some of the stuff that's happening. I mean, he was, mm-hmm. it was like the anti-Christmas letter. He was real. He was like, yeah. This is what is happening in my marriage. This is what happened with my young adult son. At the writing of this letter, I'm not exactly sure where he is, you know, like real. But then he took this paragraph and he was like, but let me tell you about Jesus and how that matters in all of this. And I was like, this is the best. I know it's my brother and I'm biased, but it was the best Christmas letter ever because it was like, yeah, no year is without scars and blemishes. And if you're looking back on the year, what you should be looking back on is how I saw Jesus Christ working. And he did that. And that's the joy to say, here's what I'm going through. Because when we hide, actually, it was you all those years ago. I'm pointing to Cindy all those years ago when we were in MOPS. And you're so wise. You're so wise for me. I have a lot of Cindy moments. I should put them on a card. and you said to me when we were talking about leadership team, and I think you approached me, or I was approached to do a leadership role. And I was like, I don't feel ready to do that because I don't feel like I have my life together enough yet. And you were like, then it's the perfect time for you to do it because it's in your flaws that you'll minister best. And I had never thought about it that way. I'd never thought about it that way. I was like, if I'm going to be a good witness, I have to look like God is doing good things. And I don't want to like mess with God's image by being a mess. I can see us in Fellowship Hall. I can tell you where we were standing. It was like such a seminal moment for me. I can see in your eyes, you don't even remember saying it, but which is great. Isn't that how it is in life? We think we're spouting the greatest wisdom and nobody pays attention. And then you just say something in passing and it's like the most impactful thing. And that brokenness and that finding joy through the brokenness and embracing the brokenness and letting people see it and seeing that they still, you have something there. A lot of non-believers will say, there's something about you or there's something about her. I can't really put my finger on it, but I dig it.
Yeah, that's why we're told to have a prepared answer for our joy.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, to circle back to what you were saying, Maria, about your children asking why, are you okay with this? How are you okay with this? And one of the things that has helped me really be okay with things that are not okay is by remembering this verse from Isaiah 55. This is 8 and 9. And my mom actually is the one that reminds me of this a lot. And God is saying, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And to me, that is a relief. Mm-hmm. The Lord is declaring that. I don't need to understand it. I'm not going to understand it. But I can have confidence that He does, and He knows what's best. Mm-hmm.
Such a great promise.
Mm-hmm. Can I just share one more thing on that?
Of course.
Thank you.
Yeah. I had to, just back to feeling peace in situations. I had to go to a funeral recently, and it was for a young person. And her mother was able to get up in front of the congregation at the funeral, packed, and say, I'm okay. You know, God gave us our daughter for, you know, X amount of years, and we don't know why that was the only amount of time we got with her, but we are so thankful for those years that He gave her to us. His purpose for her on earth was for that number of years, and we're good. Are we sad? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Big void, but we're okay.
Kay, can you tell us a little bit more about the circumstance under which that young lady died?
Yes. She was murdered brutally by someone who had been stalking her. She was to be married a month later. Christian woman.
There aren't words.
No.
There are none. I agree.
But the only reason I wanted to say that is because, I don't want to get into the details of the brutality. It's as bad as you can imagine it. And then bad on top of bad. The only reason I'm saying that is not to be gratuitous, but I can't even fathom being that mother and being able to say that.
Oh, right.
Okay. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty sure I would not be able to.
Yeah.
But I have to hold that up as one of the most insanely amazing examples of the testimony of joy. And that's what we're talking about, that if you can find a way, not just to feel it, but to let people know that's what's happening with you right there. Mm-hmm. How can anyone in this world not want to know more about what's driving you towards that? And I'm not wishing horrifying circumstances on anyone. God save us all from what happened to that family. Please. But things do happen. And even if it's a little thing or a big thing, we have an opportunity. It's a moment in time. And you can take that opportunity. And no one's going to be mad if you can't take that opportunity. But it is an amazing, indescribable testimony. And it doesn't matter if that church was full of believers or full of non-believers. You leave that experience changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and that peace that comes from knowing where she is.
Yeah, yep.
And that we suffer here on earth, but she is no longer.
Yep.
And there's such an amazing, I can't even imagine.
No.
And her testimony continues. I mean, I was thinking, okay, you know, beautiful, amazing, but in shock, you know, just kind of still numb. But I've watched posts on Facebook and her testimony continues mm-hmm. in the same way. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sad, but I'm thankful mm-hmm. for my time
Glory
with my daughter.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's an important aspect of it too, that she's not denying how heartbroken, devastated, I don't even know if there are words
horrified,
enough to say.
Tragic, yes. Like, oh. I'm
that, gonna... you know, how she feels. She's not denying how she feels, right. But she's adding to that. In addition to that, I feel thankful that she had the time with her daughter that she did.
And Maria said it's peace too. You know, mm-hmm. It goes down to peace.
Yeah, let's move to peace.
Ah.
Okay, so... Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I mean, I didn't forget, yeah. But I didn't think about it in the context of this. And I'm really appreciative that you shared that, because that's really, I don't know, as a parent, I feel like that's the most God-like expression mm-hmm. of joy. I think this is as far as you can be pushed as a parent. To lose a child is one thing. To lose a child to murder, and then to know how she suffered during that process of her life being taken away. Like I can't think of any other more horrible thing. I'm sorry. I just can't. So, I appreciate you being honest about that and sharing it. I think that we'll just leave today and promise to be praying for that mom mm-hmm. and that anyone who's in earshot, pray for that mom and pray for that family. Mm-hmm. God knows who they are. You don't need to know their name. God knows who they are. Okay. Let's talk about peace. Good segue. I would like to have some peace over that conversation. I'm like upset. I'm having a visceral response to that conversation. Okay, tell me what you think peace means. What is peace?
What is the verse that you want us to refer to?
I don't want to yet.
Oh, okay.
First, I want to have
understanding that God is, I mean, you know.
What do you think is the human definition of peace?
I think the human definition of peace is lack of conflict.
Yes, oh, I think so too. Oh. That's what I was going to say.
Which is not what the Bible
no,
calls
that's
exactly.
right yeah I'm so, glad you
right,
said
when
that
when you think peace on you know peace mm-hmm. right mm-hmm. peace in the world
I think it's very similar to how we were describing joy in adversity, that we can have peace, the peace of Christ that passes all understanding. What's the reference for that verse in Philippians? We can have peace that is outside of our circumstances, even in the midst of conflict. And that can only come through Christ, because it just doesn't make sense.
Yep.
The same as we were talking about with having joy in difficult circumstances.
It doesn't make sense in the world's economy.
Yes.
Philippians. Oh. Is it Philippians 4:7?
And here I am, the one that has that. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. And you know, can I just read the verses that come before
that? Yes.
Thank you. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7.
You were right to back up, because it's again, okay, that's peace that passes all understanding. How do I do that? Oh, here you go, right before. Here's how you get that done.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks for doing that. And who has Romans 5:1?
Oh, I think that's me.
So while you're looking for that, that's okay. I'll say that the way that I think of peace a lot is like in my house. This is not peaceful here right now, or like it's chaotic. And it's not even conflict. It's just chaos, mm-hmm. busyness, activity. So I just want to layer that in, because yes, the absence of peace is conflict, or the absence of conflict is peace. But also, like, the absence for me in a worldview kind of definition of peace is just like chill. You know, we don't have any place to go. We don't have 1,000 things to do inside the house, because even if I don't have any place to go, I find 500 things to do here. We were talking before we started the mic about how many vacuums we all own. So yeah,
we're crazy.
That's a sickness. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to say it, that I could be in my own home and still be so busy and not peaceful. And I think that's fair. I think that's fair to call that peace also, because none of the other fruits really speak to that. And it's in that peaceful place that I do my best job of hearing God and being present with God and being intentional to God. I'm not doing a good job of that when I'm busy and active and chaotic. And so for me, peace is, you know, the Psalm, I want to say 46:10, be still mm-hmm. and know that I am God.
Well, and I think this is the one spirit that calls us to sit before God, because he's saying, you pray. Don't worry. I want you to pray. Come to mm-hmm. me with all of your concerns and pray and give it to me and have that relationship with me. So this is something where God is saying, sit before me. I will give you that peace when you hand it over.
And I think that one thing I've learned through a difficult season in my life is when I do sit before God, I'm not just talking about to him about the things that are going on in my life. I am rejoicing in the Lord always and spending time talking to him about him and the things I appreciate about him.
Yeah.
And that is a way, more than listing what's going on in my life. Not that he doesn't care about that. He does. But I need to always preface it with rejoicing in the Lord and talking to him about all the wonderful things about him. And that helps bring that perspective that we talked about, you know, that
the adoration for him.
Well, yes. And it's not, it just flips it from being self-driven to mm-hmm. being God-driven, which yes. is always going to be better.
Yes. And I think that is an important ingredient in my life to getting to the end of that passage where we can have that peace mm-hmm. That transcends understanding.
Yeah. Do you have more to say about peace?
I have another moment.
Yeah, good.
The most peaceful time I ever experienced, believe it or not, was sitting with my dad while he was dying. And if anyone had ever told me that I would be the one to put morphine in his mouth for him to help him, I would have said, you're crazy. But I can tell you that, I'm not going to say it was joyful, but it was comforting. It was time for me to help my dad when I felt helpless. Mm-hmm. How's that? I felt helpless. Yep. And when he passed, when he died, I was sad. Oh my goodness, I was crushed. But I had a peace in me because I knew he was with his Lord and Savior. I knew that in my heart. And I think knowing that in my heart is what helped me mm-hmm. to be peaceful throughout the process.
And it's interesting because in that experience, there's an element of stillness. You're mm-hmm. forced. You're like, yeah. I'm not going to be anywhere but his bedside right yep. now. And it's one of those moments in life where you're like, the dishes can wait. The laundry can wait. This can't wait. And if we could just do a better job of that more often. But I'm not surprised that you felt peace in that place, because when we can slow down
yeah.
and let God minister to us the way that he wants to, and we open our hearts and our attention to him, of course he's going to flow in and all the fruit comes forth, all the fruit.
Mm.
All right. Can I move to patience? I'm impatient to get there.
Okay. I have to tell you, growing up, my mom used to, I'm one of six children. My mom would always say, Lord, give me patience. And I'm not kidding. Now that I'm a mom, I think the more you ask for it, the more you are given trials to deal with it. And I'm not asking for patience. I'm just letting you know. I'm just going to let that Holy Spirit give it to me and I'm going to accept it freely, just as it's given.
Yeah, I always say, be careful what you pray for, because God will make you figure it out and
watch
have it.
Watch out.
So what do we think the everyday definition of patience is before we look at the biblical definition?
I guess pausing before moving forward.
Waiting. Waiting well,
mm-hmm. Right? Being still.
Mm-hmm.
But that's more biblical, I know. But I think in patience, it's something that we are called to. It's an action.
Yeah. Maybe again, in the converse, we understand it better. I think a lot of people would say patience is the absence of yelling, the absence of anger, the absence of expressed frustration, anger, mm-hmm. yelling. Because when I'm impatient with my kids, that looks like me like yelling, we got to go, it's time to go. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, is always mm-hmm. when mm-hmm. I become unhinged. Mm-hmm. I know we all need a schedule in life, but I hate it when my schedule manages me instead of me managing my schedule. I hate that. So the absence of patience looks like, you know, me.
Lack of self-control.
Yeah. Yes. See how they're all tied together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And guess what? Lack of love, lack of joy, lack of kindness.
Oh, this morning I was like, Lord, help me.
Lack of gentleness. Yep. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So I will tell you that I think like 3 years ago I was in a Bible study. And someone read, and of course it was in a season when I was having a frustration, it was only about 2 years ago, because now I remember what the situation was. And basically it was me coping with a person in my life that we would call difficult to love. And I was really not coping well with it. Like, I just had run out of patience for this person and for the drama therein. I was in a Bible study and somebody read a Bible verse about patience. I can't tell you if it was this one or not, but they read it out of the King James. Do you know what the King James version of this word is? Long suffering.
Mm.
Yes, that's exactly what happened to me. I was like, oh. So that to me, I just wanted to lift out as a layer, and that that there are translations that actually use patience and enduring in exchange for each other. And so for me, that was a really good word mm-hmm. that summed up what I really needed to strive towards. That it's in the word. Suffering is in the word. I'm suffering with this relationship. I'm not going to lie to you. I still suffer with that relationship in a first world way. I mean, I know I'm not suffering, but it pains me. Okay. And that word long suffering is like, okay, it doesn't really matter if you love this relationship. I put it in your life, Holly. This person is in your family. There's a reason for that. This person needs you, which God showed me over time, needs you and needs the patience of you. Because this person has limited relationships, not a lot of good, deep relationships in this person's life. And it came to me like, okay, I've given you a lot. Suck it up. You have a lot of relationships. You have a lot of wells you can draw from. This person needs you and needs your patience and needs your kindness. And that helped me a lot. That one word, long suffering. Because to me, up until then, patience was really more about what we talked about earlier, like how I parent, how I spouse, how I friend. And it wasn't really about like embracing the long haul and knowing that stuff doesn't get solved right away. Sometimes it doesn't even get solved this side of glory. Just deal with it. This is yours. It's in your bowl. You got to deal with it. And so that helped me. I just wanted to give you that word because it was like you just experienced that moment.
And I think that goes, we keep circling back to the same concept of seeing things from God's perspective. Suddenly, when you see that relationship from its proper perspective, everything else seems smaller.
Mm-hmm. And it helps me tune back up. Or it helps me let God tune me back up, because we know self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. Kind of how much tuning of myself can I really do? Very little. Study with Friends is here to help you read and understand God's Word at every stage of your spiritual growth. Because we are listener-supported, we do rely on your prayers and financial support. This month, we are considering the radio station plan for 2017. So if you're blessed by us on this station, please let us know with an email to info@studywithfriends.org. or a donation. All donations go directly to the costs of teaching God's Word on air and online. Please consider a donation of any amount. It's really not the amount you give. No amount is too small. We just want to know that we are bearing fruit here on your station. You can contact us and let us know where you listen, and also give most easily at our website, studywithfriends.org/donate. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. Don't forget you can listen online too. We have every radio series we've ever done archived on studywithfriends.org, so tool around on our website to find topics that interest you. While you're there, click on your favorite social media channel in the upper right-hand corner to follow us for daily inspiration and encouragement. You'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We believe strongly in the local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday worship and a small group Bible study, please find one. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Next week, we'll continue our conversation about patience and continue through the list of the fruit of the Spirit with kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. See you next time on Study with Friends.